super blessed already, huh? Wow. Well, we've got quite a ministry here. And what we do as a fellowship not only affects you here personally and others in the San Diego area, but our ministry reaches out around the world. And I thought I'd take a couple minutes before I get into the teaching to share with you a little bit about that, about some of the outreach of God's word in other countries. And you are familiar with Anthony Sakwa. I've shared about him before. He lives in Kenya. And he's been holding forth the word, helping people speak in tongues. I think he's helped hundreds, maybe thousands of people to understand what speaking in tongues is, its significance, and then leads them into speaking in tongues. And he was just at a conference, and I think they just finished today, but he sent an email, and he said, and we've sent him speaking in tongues booklets translated into Swahili, and he's run out of them. So he says, as for me here, I have done photocopies enough to take them to my brothers and sisters in Kampala, Uganda. So he's going to a conference in Uganda next to Kenya and taking some booklets and ministering there. My first day in the conference was today very powerful. I led many people into exercising to speak in tongues. For a teaching, the Spirit of the Lord whispered to me. Whispered. Where did I hear that word before? Isn't it amazing how things get put together? Wow. To me, that people who have fear of speaking in tongues. After the teaching, I explained more about why and the benefits of speaking in tongues. Many people cried and tears of joy was rolling down and they began to speak for the first time. Praise God, I know tomorrow will be a powerful time. I have no words to express my joy and love for the Lord to reveal this truth to us through your ministry. Be blessed, I love you all. And always praying for you. So he knows about us as a ministry. He's very thankful. Then I got another email the other day from Ray Braska. And he was with Barney in Japan ministering the word. And they handed out a couple hundred speaking in tongues booklets translated in Japanese. And there's another booklet we're working on that he is having translated for new Christian believers. It's called Your New Life in Christ. And we're going to have something like that pretty soon in English that we can share with new believers. But just a note to let you know, this is Ray, that I just finished up proofreading Your New Life in Christ in Japanese. It looks good. The publication team will now do the layout, and once I finish reviewing that, I will go to print. And this group is in Japan that he's using to do this, the publication team. I just have a little more fundraising to do and will be able to pay them. I think it will be a great booklet to hand out to new Japanese believers. I believe it is much needed. I'm thinking that if there's a lot of demand, then we would consider putting it in Japanese Christian bookstores. God bless, Ray. So pretty neat. See what God's doing and working and excited about the work of the ministry, huh? God's called us to do different things, right? We all have a different role in the body of Christ. And that's exciting to know what that is and then to do it. Well, right now I have the privilege of teaching God's word, so I'm going to get into that. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I guess the title of this sharing would be Living the Hope of Christ's Return Today. Why a teaching? Why do I teach? Why not just sing a bunch more songs? Well, the purpose of teaching is to bring to your mind spiritual truths that you can understand, believe, and manifest the more abundant life in your life. Now, what's the source of truth? Where are we going to go? We can go all over the place. There's a lot of books out there. But what is the one place we want to go? God's Word. God is perfect, right? He is perfect. And His Word is perfect, right? It says in Psalms 18:30, we'll get some slides up here. There we go. That as God, His way is perfect, the word of the Lord is tried. It's proven. Everything God has said comes to pass, right? Everything that God would work in your life will come to pass. God's word, the written word, will come to pass as you believe it and walk out on it. But we've got a perfect source here. And my hope and prayer is that I can do it justice to share the truth of God's perfect word to you and communicate a few things with you this morning. Let me take a time out here. You know, if you want to go snorkeling, you like snorkeling? You know, there's a good place in La Jolla in the Cove area, and you can see Garibaldi swimming around and stuff. It's kind of neat. But if you want a perfect source of snorkeling, where would you go? Hawaii. Everybody, Hawaii. Yeah, boy, the snorkeling there is fantastic. It's perfect, right? So if we're looking for a source of snorkeling, we're going to go to Hawaii. Yeah. Now, if you want some barbecue, don't come to my house. I mean, you can. It's okay. But you want perfect barbecue? Where are you going? Todd's house. And Barney, too. Barney's a great cook. So, well, we want the perfect word for this morning. So where are we going to go? God's word. Okay, so let's do it. Let's do it. And what I'm going to do here, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to share out of the King James Version, but I'm also going to share some of the Working Translation by Walter Cummins. And I believe Walter Cummins is one of the greatest researchers and scholars, biblical scholars, alive today. So I trust his insights are a blessing. So I may share some of that. So when I say Working Translation, that's from Walter's work. All right. Now we're going to consider a few truths here that I trust you'll see in this section of God's Word. And these truths we're going to consider are treasuring the importance of the Spirit in your life, your spiritual life, that you would really treasure the reality that you've got Christ in you. You've got that Spirit within you. Also, I trust you'll see the value of holding forth Christ. Christ is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Anybody who's going to come to the Father's got to go through Jesus Christ. And then living the hope now, living the hope of Christ's return today. So these are the three great truths I trust you'll see as we go through this section of God's Word. So let's get into it. 2 Corinthians verse 1 here, chapter 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, whenever you see the word therefore, you got to ask the question, why is there for? Why is it there for? So, to answer that question, where do you think you're going to go? Previous. Yeah, look context, and you see the previous verse answers it. So, let's go to chapter 3, verse 18. And here, I'm going to look at the Working Translation. So, we'll look at that slide, the Working Translation 3:18. So as we with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are all transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit from the Lord. You know, the previous verse talks about now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when you look in the mirror as a believer, what do you see? You see Christ. Now, I don't know about you. This morning when I got up and looked in the mirror, I had to step back a little bit. You know, I don't want to stare at that too long until I wash it up, fix it up, put a little cosmetics on. Now, I don't use cosmetics. That's... Jeannie says, I didn't know that. We've been married 44 years. He's using cosmetics. But what kind of eyes am I looking at this mirror with? Well, when I see that mug of mine, yeah, that's five senses looking. But when you look with spiritual eyes, you see the Christ in you, the glory of the Lord. That's interesting challenge. Huh? What is our mind going to think when we look in the mirror? What are we going to see each time? We're going to see the flesh, but what do we want to see? What are we going to get our mind thinking? The glory of the Lord. God, all that he has done is to make you so special that you're his glory. You know, when he's talking to the angels and he's bragging on something, he's not bragging about the universe, how big, how vast it is, all the billion, million, trillion planets that I've made. What is he bragging on? Us, the glory of the Lord. We're the ones that shine for God. What a privilege we have today to do that. Wow. Okay, we got to move along here. Chapter 4, verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You know, we're talking about this ministry, right? We've got this ministry is the ministry of the Spirit that's in us. Because we have this ministry, we don't faint, right? We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, the working translation, he says that the God of this age has blinded the thinking processes of the mind. Boy, and isn't that so? Everything we see out there in this crazy world, television, we look around, what's the signs, talking with people, all this information flowing through the internet, all this stuff. What does it do to your mind? How do you process that in your mind? That's a lot to process, isn't it? Our challenge is not to let the God of this world talk to us and bother us, but we want the God who is our Heavenly Father talking to us, right? We want to have that clear channel opened up so we're hearing God. So this is the challenge we have. I mean, it's big, isn't it? Because we want to focus on the Christ in us, the glory of the Lord. But so many times we're just so wrapped up into the worldly junk. Quite a challenge. But we can handle it. We can definitely handle it. So how do we do this? You know, how do we handle this great dilemma? Well, let's read on. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but who? Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's who we talk about. You know, the greatest subject we can talk about is the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to talk Christ. We got to put him in our conversations. He's the one that is the answer. When you got born again, you confessed Jesus as Lord, and God raised him from the dead, right? He's the focal point. Christ is the focal point. So we want to keep him in the midst of our conversation within our life. Wow. Now let's look at verse 6. Okay. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here it is. God is talking about putting light, right? Commanding the light to shine out of darkness. When did God do this in the beginning? Well, right in the beginning, Genesis 1:3. Let's take a look at that one. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and what was there? There was light. Now, why did he want to do some light trip right in the beginning? Verse 2 says, darkness was upon the face of the deep. So God is light. He shined light. And he spoke it into being, and there was light. He went on and on the rest of those verses. We don't have them on there. But you know that he created by just speaking into being the animals, the heavens, the earth. He spoke it and it happened. Wow. And he's the light that gives us clarity to any and everything. Okay, let's go to verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So what is that treasure? That spirit life that we have, that Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what we've got in us. And that is a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. Now, I think everybody's looking for treasure. Everybody wants the land, the big, rich lotto ticket, right? You buy that lotto ticket and you're going to win millions of dollars. Or you risk, you know, you go out and invest in risky stock schemes and I'm going to make a lot of money. See, that's their treasure. You know, who else looks for treasure? Pirates. Pirates look for treasure, right? And there's people out there that are, you know, trying to find where these pirates buried treasure. In fact, Jeannie and I were in North Carolina last week, and we went to the Outer Banks in North Carolina. There's a string of barrier islands. If you know your geography a little bit, you see in the map where these string of islands stick out. And there's a little town at the south end called Ocracoke. Don't say that too fast. Ocracoke. And so a couple hundred people there. So we stayed there a couple days. I was visiting my sister and my brother. The three of us and Jeannie were together. And we got into a kayak. And we paddled down to the end of the point of that particular barrier island. And we went ashore looking around. And we were at the exact spot where Blackbeard the pirate was killed and, well, he was captured first, then killed, and died right there in that area. And you know what? I bet he's got some buried treasure around there. Well, we did land on there, and we looked around, but we didn't see any treasure. But if I would have brought a mirror along, I would have saw the greatest treasure the world has ever seen, right? So next time we're taking the mirror so we find the real treasure. Okay? Hey, we are God's treasure, right? He has so loved us and cares for us. He's put his spirit in us. Oh, my goodness. We're so blessed. It's amazing. Now, I know life can be pretty distressful, though, can it? You know, all this sounds like, you know, nice, happy roses and good times. But life is tough. And God's word here talks about that. Let's look at these verses here. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto the death of Jesus' sake, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul and his followers had some tough times. Man, oh man, but he wanted to do it so the believers could see the life they have within them. See, we are troubled on every side, but we're not distressed, right? We are perplexed, but not in despair. See, we have problems. We have things come up, but can we deal with them? Yes. And how will we deal with them? Oh, I got a great book on how to deal with this problem. You know, I have some marriage things going on, and I better read all the books I can on Freud, on marriage. Where do we go? God's Word. Yeah. The Word of God is the answer. So, let's take a look at the next verse, verse 13. You know what? I didn't show this one slide. My fault. What's the next slide there? There it is. There's our treasure. I forgot. Yeah, the glory of the Lord, right? That's the treasure that really counts. Yeah. Okay, so let's look at verse 8. Or we did, right? Okay, so let's move to verse 13. And I'm going to read the Working Translation. Knowing, now this comes after all this, hey, we're distressed, you know, we're persecuted, all this stuff's going on. Now here we read, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us and present us with you alongside of Jesus. So what is the subject that is being presented right here? The hope of Christ's return? You know, it's interesting. So many times when we see the conflict and the trouble and the problems that we face, the next subject that comes up is the hope of Christ's return. That's the case right here, isn't it? Man, we can think on, hey, Christ is coming back. Yeah, things are tough, but any minute Christ is coming back, and I'm going to be with him. Man, did you love the manifestations today? Oh, my goodness, fantastic. So he is coming back. We need to have that in the presence of our mind all the time, that he's coming back. Know that. Be assured that any moment, in the twinkling of an eye, woo, we're gone. We're with him forever and ever. Wow. Verse, where are you at? 14, 15. Okay, we read 14, 15. Better put my glasses on and see better. There we go. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound, or the word is abound, to the glory of God. For which cause, the hope, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, wait a minute. I thought this new man, this Christ in me, is perfect. How can I perfect that? How can I make that any better? Wow. But the encouragement here is to see that, hey, as our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, how does this work? What's happening here? Well, it's like this. In a practical sense, we need to renew our mind to the reality that we've got Christ in us. Yeah, we can't make it any better, but we can make it better in our mind and our thinking. So that's why we renew our mind, so that we can see who we are in Christ. You know, there's a great verse, Colossians 3:10. Let's take a look at that one. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we're putting on this new man in the sense of how? How are we doing this renewing? Knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we're doing it after God. What God has communicated to us, the knowledge of him, we renew our mind. That's why we keep your head in the book, right? Let's keep our head in the book. Let's keep reading the truth of God's word so that we stay renewed. So we're focused on the new man. We're not living the old man. What does the word say about the old man? Put him off. Get rid of him. But put on the new man. In practical sense, we're living that Christ in us day by day, moment by moment. Wow. Hey, these are some great truths that if we can grasp these things, tomorrow could be the greatest day of your life. and so can the next. Why? Christ could come back at any moment. And you're thinking about who? Christ. You're thinking about who you are in Christ. You're looking in the mirror first thing in the morning, you're seeing the glory of the Lord, right? And you're going to live the rest of that day that, hey, I'm a son of God. I'm special. And you are. And you are. Well, verse 17 and 18, we come to the end here. Verse 17, we have a slide on that one. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now we're getting back to the eternal things in light of the hope of Christ's return. The next verse, please. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, wait a minute. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Wait a minute. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which we don't see, they're eternal. Well, what can't you see? You can't see spirit, can you? See, this is an oxymoron here. This is quite a figure of speech, really. So we look at the things you can't see. So if you're looking at something, focused on something, and you don't feel good, then look at something you can't see. How are you going to do that? Look in the mirror. Look into God's perfect word. Speak in tongues. Remind yourself, hey, I'm a son of God here. Whoa, I can handle this situation. You know, these light afflictions, the stress, the mental pressure, all the stuff that happens to us, you know, they're but a light, what? Affliction. Which is but for what? A moment. How long is eternity? Here's a moment. Or here's our life. Eternity like that. Right? So, you know, and really what we do now will produce rewards for eternity. That's a whole nother subject. The rewards that we get for doing the faithful things God has called us for will be rewarded in heaven for eternity for it. Wow. So, hey, light affliction, but for a moment. It works a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So, what did we learn today? Let's get to the conclusion here. How do I live the hope of Christ's return today? Well, two things. I treasure the spiritual life that I have. I treasure that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory, that I can speak in tongues. I can operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit. I can talk with my Father, and I can listen to my Father when he whispers to me or talks like a thunder. Okay? Wow. And then what do? Hold forth Christ. Man, we're just out there talking Christ. We're talking about the purpose of the ages. The Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty simple, isn't it? Yeah. Very simple. So I trust you've sown this in your hearts a little bit and appreciate the truth of God's word. And I'd like to pray. Close this out. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the richness of your love and grace in our lives. We're thankful that we have a connection with you for eternity and for today, for this moment, for the next hour, forever, Father. Thank you for the spirit that we have. Thank you for talking to us like you do, and I pray that we can listen better and hear you and recognize our spiritual realities above our physical realities. And just see you and have the hope of Christ's return just burning in our hearts, knowing that he's coming back at any moment. So thank you for setting up this wonderful life for us. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Well, God bless you.